This morning's reading, which begins on page 181 in your Eitz Chaim, chapter 31, verse 17, we see Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, our ancestor, Jacob, our father, in a familiar, and I mean that literally, because everything about Jacob and, of course, all of our ancestors was familiar, was about family. He finds himself in another familiar situation. Once again, Jacob has deceived someone close to him. This time it's Laban, his uncle slash father-in-law, whom he has swindled out of his money, and from whom he has, of course, become quite wealthy, manipulating and stealing. The Torah begins, if you read with me in verse 17, Vayakom Yaakov, Vayisas Banaves Nashav Alagmalim, Jacob puts his children and wives on camels, Vayinhages Kol Miknehu, Veskol Rechusho Asher Rachash, Mikne Kinyano Sherechash Bepadan Aram. He takes all of those possessions, his livestock, all of the wealth, everything that he has made, he takes with him. Lavo El Yitzchak Aviv Artze Kenan. First thing that you notice is the text now calls Isaac Jacob's father. In the beginning of this week's reading, when God appears to Jacob in his quite famous dream, the God that appears to Jacob at that moment is the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Noticeably absent is the notation of Isaac as Jacob's father. Isaac is not Jacob's father, in the sense that he had no relationship with him whatsoever. The only relationship Isaac had with his father was that his father loved his brother, and Jacob was his mother's son. Jacob has to dress as his brother to receive the love and blessing from his father that he couldn't get on his own. Now, that's not my insight. The insight of the Or Chaim HaKadosh, of Chaim Ibn Attar, who said on last week's reading that Jacob was busy making stew because he thought if he mimicked his brother Esau's ability to bring food to his father, then he too would find a way into his father's heart. And so as we read in this week's reading, the beginning of this week's reading, we are shocked in a moment. Right? It's a little bit gripping to hear Isaac now called Jacob's father, one, and two, now Jacob's ready to show up with dad. It's been 20 years. I couldn't go home before I made myself into something worthy of being in my father's presence. And now Jacob takes all of his things, buttons his suit, takes his clothing. He's got a good bank account. Now I'm going to go see dear old dad. Verse 19. V'Lavan halach ligzoz et sono. And Laban, his uncle slash father-in-law, went to shear his sheep. V'tignov Rachel es hatrafim asher li'aviha. And Rachel steals the little gods, the household idols, trafim, these little statuettes that belonged to her father. How long does it take to shear sheep? It's not a couple of days. It's a while. So Laban is now gone, right? Laban is no longer around, and Rachel steals the household gods. Vayignov Yaakov es lev Lavan ha'arami, verse 20, and Jacob steals the heart of Lavan, the Aramean. Maybe one of the most important lines, this verse is one of the most important verses in the entire Jacob narrative. Vayignov Yaakov es lev Lavan Arami, and Jacob deceives. Literally, it means he stole his heart, but it means he didn't tell him. Right? In other words, he hid it from him. He stole his heart because, right, he didn't tell him. That's what the verse says. Al belihi gidlo. He didn't tell him. Kivorecho, because he was running. This, in Rosenzweig and Buber's translation of the Bible and in their understanding of the Bible. This is a classical leitwort. People know what a leitwort is? A leitwort is a word that will repeat itself over and over and over again within a given portion of the Bible. And by its repetition, its sheer repetition, it will be winking at us and saying, theme, theme, theme. Pull. It's almost like pull me. It's like a thread. Pull this thread. This is a thread. This word, two words here, will actually appear over and over again. One is gneva. What does that mean? To steal. Who steals? Rachel steals. Jacob steals. It'll appear over and over again. Jacob will be accused of stealing. Jacob himself will use the term stealing not to mean stealing, but gunovti, which means somehow I paid it back. The word will appear over and over again. Why does it appear over and over again in a Jacob story? Because Jacob stole something, and that doesn't go away. You don't need to read Freud to hear parapraxis. Right? It's happening over and over again in the story, over and over again. Jacob has to live with stealing. It's so powerful that he was entitled to the birthright. We've talked about this based on Shmuel Klisner's reading of this story. Jacob was always going to get a blessing, but he didn't feel worthy of it, so he had to steal it. The one who doesn't feel that they're entitled will steal, will deceive, will try to find a way to take that which already belongs to them. Jacob doesn't know it, but he was already destined. Every younger child in Genesis gets the blessing. Didn't he know that? He was entitled to the very thing he thought he needed to work so hard to get. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that we often, when we don't feel worthy of something and yet we still need it, we'll find all manner of way to avoid asking for it directly? Really? That's what you wanted? Why didn't you ask me for that raise? Really, all you needed was a week away to get your breath? Well, you didn't have to be so crazy about it. Just ask me. Here's Jacob, deceiving for the very thing that belongs to him. One, two, boreach. He's running away. Jacob will keep running away until he can't run away any longer, until he finally have to face the things that he has to face when he hits rock bottom, when his entire family is in danger of being killed by his brother, when he can no longer deceive his way out, when he's all alone again for the first time in 20 years alone. Sometimes we don't even know who we are until we have a moment of aloneness. I totally identify with this Jacob character because I'm a twin. And sometimes being alone feels like the most unnatural thing in the world. Because for 9 months in my mother's womb, I was passing notes back and forth with my brother. And for 43 years, I've been in presence with someone. And so being alone, Jacob has a dream. And 20 years later, again, alone, he wrestles. So he runs away. That's the second leitwort. Boreach, he's running. And the last word here that will appear over and over again, and again, right? Higid. Beli higid. You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me. You didn't communicate, Jacob. You didn't tell me. Where does that word appear in the Bible by Jacob's story that is the most powerful expression of that? When Jacob gets wounded, he gets wounded in something called the Gid Hanasheh, in the sciatic nerve. Can you hear the word gid? Beli higid. Higid means to tell. You didn't tie it together with me. You didn't thread it together with me. That's your wound. That's what keeps you limping, Jacob. Now, I want to make this into a blessing for the first aliyah for all of you to come up. So I need to come in for a landing. And here it is. Jacob's father-in-law says to him, "You stole my heart. You stole my heart, Jacob." Now, this is something I've seen in sources, but if anybody bothers you about it, tell them I said it first. Jacob, who misses his father, has a repetition compulsion with setting up authority figures whom he has to deceive from the wealth or the blessing and then run away from them. He has it with Isaac, and then he has it now with Laban. And in both cases, he's running away from brothers who actually want to, right, who want to make things straight. First, it's his brother Esau. And next, here, it's his brothers-in-law. No matter. Jacob is repeating a pattern. Now, how could Jacob have changed the pattern? I don't know if Laban would have been the perfect person to do it, but somehow, I'm hearing in Laban's statement here that you missed an opportunity. That there was something about me, Jacob, that you could have worked through in a good, positive way that you lost. You saw me as Isaac, Jacob, instead of as Laban. Now, in many sources, Laban is not the most savory of characters. But something about this verse is painful. It's as if Laban is saying, you missed an opportunity. You stole what I wanted to give you. I wanted to give you father. I wanted to give you love. And how many people can honestly say, and I remember this vividly in my 20s, that when I was repeating a lot of my patterns, a lot of them, that often in the middle of a pattern, someone would say, stop, because it's not really happening. It's not really happening, Jacob, that Laban is your father. It's not really happening that he would withhold from you, right, what you deserve. It's not really true. You don't have to swindle him. You don't have to cheat him. Maybe you can work it through here. Maybe Jacob could have stayed there and worked it out. Maybe. So that's my bracha this morning for the first aliyah. The first aliyah this morning is to stop missing opportunities to fix things. To wake up in present patterns to undo past ones. That's my first aliyah. If that speaks to you, please come forward for the first aliyah.